Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Thank you again for joining us here on Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. We're going to take a bit of a departure because I've got two special guests that are going to join us now for the balance of our two-hour show. First up here again is Vern Church, who's head of College Education Consultants based out of Colorado. Welcome to the show, Vern.
Thank you. Good morning, Zara.
Yeah, it's a real pleasure. And Vern is here with me live. So if anyone in the course of our conversation would like to call in, it's 520-751-1041. Or toll free, it's 877-544-2580. And I also have the internet up, so change@thelarsongroup.com for emails. And so with that, I'd like to introduce Vern. For 18 years, his organization has assisted parents and students through the college process, matching students to their best fit schools and finding the money to pay for it in the mix. I suspect that got people's attention, Vern. He's president and founder, and he began the company as a community service project designed to help local Colorado students more control over their college selection process. And at the time, Vern was actually working in the corporate world for an aerospace company, and he had the opportunity to pursue an executive MBA program at the University of Denver. And during that process, he realized that he had a real passion for assisting high school students and creating a business plan that launched their company full time. One thing you might note, folks, is even in my choice of words here in that introduction, it dovetails very nicely with the conversation we had with Bill Hendricks about playing to your passion and really understanding what drives you. Vern Frankley has visited over 300 individual college campuses and assisted over 900 students through this college process in the 18 years. He's a member of the Rocky Mountain Association of College Admission Counselors. He's written articles for newspapers, magazines, and conducts presentations for businesses, churches, and schools around the country. Vern and his wife, Chris, are active participants in the Kempe Foundation, an organization that helps treat and prevent child abuse, the Boys Hope, Girls Hope, an effort to assist inner-city kids to focus on education, and they both reside in Littleton, Colorado, with their now very young son. So we're catching you while you're in town, so it's a pleasure that you could come into the studio.
Oh, it's a pleasure for me to be here.
Well, I think I would probably want to start with probably a loaded question. That would be, tell us about your college experience first, and then we'll figure out how it fits into your advising others.
Well, the process of going through the college 20 years ago, even 25 years ago, as many of your listeners have gone through, my parents did not have the chance to go to college and graduate, so I was a first-generation student. So I did pretty much what most first-generation students did, and I asked my high school counselor what classes to take. I was also a Division I tennis player, so I let the college coaches tell me where I should go to college and who wanted to give me money to play there. So I didn't really go through the college process in an articulate, preparatory manner. So I paid for that once I went. I was lucky enough to get a college scholarship to D1 for tennis. Unfortunately, I tore my shoulder out in my sophomore year, and at that time I was stuck with no scholarship. My right arm was shot and no future at that point. So I had to really identify what I was really at college for. And it wasn't for athletics.
You know, and it's funny you should say, if someone would ask me that question, I had a high school guidance counselor that said, "Oh, Zara, girls don't do that kind of thing." And that was, I went in to tell her I was going to go to engineering school and I wanted to work in the automobile business since I used to skip school to go to the racetrack in Indianapolis. So this idea of now equipping our youth and their parents or whatever the sports structure is for them to really look deeper into their own heart and consider their own options. Not that the counselors aren't well-intended or don't have that data, but still it's a different dynamic today.
That's right. 20 years ago, if you look at the process and how most individuals went through, they completed the applications and maybe they completed only three of them. Right. They took the standardized tests maybe only once and then they went through the process and that was just about it. It took maybe 5 to 10 hours. Now it's a completely different process because colleges are run like a business. So you see so many of the families that go through this process, whether they're spending thousands of dollars on college visitations or they're applying to 15 or 20 schools in this process, it's completely different than what it was even 20 years ago.
And I'm gathering where really the value add glad for working with you, Vern, and others that are in this fairly niche business, but it's a growing one, is to realize there's a whole strategy you want to develop and vet before you even get in the car the first time, and maybe even before you start tapping the internet and flooding your mailbox with, you know, either virtual or snail mail about this.
That's exactly right. If you look at this from as a student standpoint, and that's where everything really starts, is it has to come through the student. So as parents, I counsel so many parents into understanding what the student is going through and what are their passions overall. If you don't start with that, if you look, for instance, on finances, so many of the families look at how the cost of college has just risen exponentially in the last even 10 years, is just skyrocketed to the point where students themselves can no longer pay for college by themselves. Even an in-state college, take the University of Arizona, for instance, if you're an in-state student here, you're still going to pay about $75,000. Now, that is the total cost for everything with room, board, books, and everything else with that. Now, that doesn't take into account scholarships or need-based aid, but that price tag alone scares a lot of the families from even looking at those schools. When in fact, if you understand how the process works, starting with the student's passion, that student can identify what their passion is and sell that to the college. Those colleges are willing to give them money in the form of merit-based aid to take care of so much of that cost, sometimes half to three quarters of that cost.
I think the other piece of it is that your college experience truly is a journey. And so while you might like to think you had all the pieces and the puzzle pieces set up front, that lo and behold, as you get into it, the idea of getting part-time jobs even when you're in school, or also taking advantage of those summers to go get internships that are relevant in your field, can also provide not just the income, but actually the smoothing of the curriculum for the young people.
Absolutely. We use a summer program, and in the last 5 years, they have exploded for summer programs now to 7,000 that are out there. I actually work with 30 admission directors specifically on the summer process for them to tell me which ones overall they give credence to, actually not only helping them on their application for the students, that is, but also which ones they find benefit the student to understand some passions that they would have.
Okay, let's be clear on our listeners understand. I was actually talking about job-relevant internships once you're in college, but now you're telling us about the pre-college experience for students for that, what, between their sophomore, junior in high school or junior and senior year in high school.
Exactly.
That can go in and kind of taste test institutions, curriculums, even what their passions might be in the course, and even some of them offer college credit, don't
absolutely.
They?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So you can wait until you're out of college to have those internships, but so many of the high school students now understand what they love to do and have a passion that they follow that all the way through. They have those internships from high school, they come back in the summer, have them in college, and then they do them after they graduate from college. So it's actually a stepping stone that wasn't available even 10 years ago.
Yeah, I think the other part of it is that we're not talking about just purely summer camp, folks. It truly is curriculum-based. I know we've been looking at possibilities for our son, who is a very talented artist, and that actually some of these summer programs can give him a jump start on a polished, college-acceptable portfolio to able to him to get in, but as well, he still has the chance of continuing to be a high school kid and define and refine his skills.
That's right. And we have to really understand that the students are still 14, 15,
yeah,
16,
right.
17
good
years
job.
Old, and they're not in the workforce at this time. They're still identifying and really trying to figure out who they are as individuals, and they're dealing with a lot of, whether it's the hormones, in addition to what they want to be when they grow up. When I provide presentations to large-scale groups, say of 100 or more, what I do is I ask the students some introductory questions. And then the first question I ask for parents is I ask them to tell me if there's 100 families in the room, parents at 15, 16, 17 years old, did you know what you wanted to do with the rest of your life? Did you go to the college that you thought you would? And are you now doing that specific process now going into 40 and 50 years old? Are you still in that same job today? And if you have even 5 out of 100 stand up and raise their hands, that's a lot. And then I ask the students to look around the room and let them know they don't have to know what they're going to do with the rest of their life when they're 15 or 16,
right,
because they're still formulating that plan.
But back to that option then. So the process you take the young people through with the support of whatever family members or coaches and so on to help them out, it's more than counseling. It's really trying to take them back and lay on paper, right?
That's right.
And that you're going to take them through some journaling experiences. So you might want to tell us some of the things you actually, for someone who'd want to engage the college education consultancy that you do, as what would that look like for the families?
Absolutely. What I start with is a 7-page questionnaire with the students. Anything from, are they a ball cap or sweatshirt? sweatshirt kind of individual to how do you think others perceive you as a student. So it's nothing to really get into their heads a little bit, but understand some things that they like and don't like about where they're at in high school and what they're thinking of going beyond. Now, I also give the parents a 4-page questionnaire so that they can do separate, because I want to find out what the dynamics are of the family and how to help the parents in supporting the student. But again, as I tell every student, I have them drive the train, I just shovel in the coal.
And that's for us parents to hear that very clearly, folks, that for the best of our intentions, this isn't about our aspirations and our life or our life being relived through our children, but rather know that we have a unique human being here that we've been blessed with to guide, but that at some point we really need to step back.
Yes.
I think the other piece of it is, like for any of us, is that, you know, as much as I was an expert swimmer, I could not teach my kids how to swim. The parent-child dynamic just doesn't work.
That's right.
And so as much as I might enjoy putting all those college brochures, or of course our listeners know that I'm very active in this very same space as you, that probably I'm not going to be the most effectual, as opposed to turning to someone like you that's got that guidance, particularly 300 institutions that you've visited. My goodness, that's quite a travel trek.
Well, and many of those are 300 individual schools. So
right.
I spend every year going to 40 to 60 different schools. And really, that's where the crux of this process is when you go through and try and use specific data, whether there are programs out there called Choices or Naviance that try and take the students through based on size and location and majors and puts a college sheet or a college data list together. But that doesn't tell the students anything about what the personality and profile is of the college, or if that college is even looking for that student as their primary type focused student, so they're actually recruiting them. This is what we try and do, is get them into that process where they understand why they would like this college, but also that they are a primary candidate for that college to come after them. Because not only is it easier to get in to the school in terms of your acceptance rate, but also then when you're talking to get in for scholarship money, it's critical that you have those two components.
Yeah, that's very well said. Well, take us back. You know, of course, many, not all schools, but a number of schools have their own internal high school counselors. And, you know, whether it be a junior year or senior year, start the kids thinking in this direction. Talk, though, about the real value added that a consultancy such as yours offers, Vern.
What I tell most high school counselors when I talk to them is that many say, why would parents pay you to do what we as high school counselors do for free? And my retort to them is, if I do 10% of what the high school counselor does, I'm doing the wrong things. Because the high school counselors have a very difficult job nowadays. Most of them have on average of 350 to 400 students per counselor. They work on average anywhere from 10 to 20 hours of in administrative tasks. So if you have 400 students and only 20 hours a week to work with them, that's a difficult process. So their job description is not helping these individual students find individual college and what their true passions are. It's helping them get through the high school process to get to be eligible to college. What we do as educational consultants is take those reins and really specify and narrow down that funnel to why would this individual, based on their passions and what they may like to do and the things that they want to focus on, what schools might that environment be the best for them to be in their best environment?
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, what schools are looking for them actively? So we have many admission directors that will come into Colorado, for instance, and come talk to me and say, Vern, we have 2 days to spend here. Do you have any students that fit our criteria based on my experience working with them?
And what kind of criteria are you talking about? Let's be real explicit to help our listeners understand.
When you're looking at criteria, they're looking at, what does this individual want to study? What type of experience have they had already in their study? Have they done summer programs? Let me give you an example. We'll just take pre-medicine. Have they had a chance to work in a hospital? Have they worked with children who've been in pain? Or have they worked with the elderly who are in pain and they understand the difficulties working with that? Have they ever been in an ER scenario where they actually have to, maybe they're just processing papers, but in a hospital environment where they have to think on their feet and they're into that type of stressful environment, most young students at 15, 16 have never had that. They see ER on the TV shows, and they
right.
see CSI forensics,
right.
and that's what they think it's all wrapped up in an hour, and it's not that neat.
So that the admission counselors and those that are visiting the visiting our high schools across the country, which they certainly are tracking, we see that here in
that's
Tucson,
right.
is they're looking for that blend of you know, real practical know-how, but also they're looking to seed their student body with diverse candidates. And, of course, for our students here in Arizona, that's a real plus.
Absolutely.
For those that are willing to move, you know, different places beyond the Southwest.
Absolutely.
Because it's a diversity element. It's a different kind of student, a different lifestyle they can bring to mix into their new student body.
That's right. And I couldn't say that any more clearly. If you look at, for Colorado, for instance, we have a melting pot of all ethnicities. And when the colleges come out here in the Northeast, for instance, the Northeast has traditionally a lower Hispanic Latino population. They're coming out there, they're coming out to Colorado asking for any type of candidates that also fit that realm within what they want to study and their overall environment as a student. Because even if you have an ethnicity opportunity at that school, if it doesn't fit you, they're not interested, and you shouldn't be either.
That's right. Again, I'm speaking with Vern Church, who's from College Education Consultants based in Colorado. Well, if I've got any high school students that are listening in right now, Vern, what would be the top three things they should keep in mind as they're starting this process?
The first part is follow your passion.
Yeah.
And understanding the things that you truly love. Even if it's not, you may not love history, but if you understand the fact that you like to go to the National History Museum and really look at what they're doing in aeronautics and where they started with the space station, whatever it might be, to follow your passions is a truly important concept for you. It's critical in the process to really understand what you love to do. When I look at the process overall, the first place that the college admission counselors are going to look at is going to be studying and study skills. If you study, everything else will take care of itself. From learning the material, you can't really understand what you love if you really don't learn about it in the first place. Your test scores, ACT and SAT, will be higher. Your application will be far more complete if you have far more A's and B's in those strongest subjects if you've really learned them. That's all going to be something that's going to help you through the process. So
well,
the study skills will be huge.
And we have to remember, too, this isn't just about sneaking in under the wire and getting
that's
in the institution, because you want to measure your personal success of those who are retained and successfully graduate.
That's
so we're also trying to say about being authentic and being true, not just artificially pumping it
that's
up.
That's right. Don't get the A for the grade. Really learn the material so that way you can actually understand whether you like it or not.
Yeah, very well said. The differences you've encountered then between working with young men and young women, be curious to know. Anything jump out at you?
This is probably, the colleges are looking at this as almost near epidemic proportions.
Hmm.
Right now,
yeah, no
58% of all women are the applicants, only 42% men. But what you're also seeing is that the 58% of women are so much stronger. There's so many top-tier females now, and there are so few top-tier men. So many of the colleges now are actually having to lower their admission standards to get more men in there to fill their overall class enrollment. So if you are a male, for instance, that's a huge advantage for you if you tend to take your academics seriously. If you follow your passion and your community service projects and do well on your tests, the world is your oyster at this point. For the young ladies, it's a little bit more difficult. You have to be more focused because there's so many more of you out there that are going, and especially at a stronger level.
And is that just a nationwide trend in terms of the demographics of children in general? Any way to explain this?
No, and they're looking at this as well. The other point to this is they just had a meeting the colleges did in September where it is near epidemic proportions of the young males actually failing out after their first semester and being
right.
put on probation because they haven't looked at the decision-making process and why they're there in the first place. The females already have that focus. So we're seeing dramatic dichotomy between the females and the males.
Vern, of course, a four-year, you know, residential institution isn't for everyone. So part of this process could be also some learning experiences, whether it be going to a junior college or, you know, joining the U.S. military before getting an opportunity to college. How does that play into the advising that you do with young people and their families?
We look at where they're at in the process overall. Four-year colleges are not for everybody, and neither could be two-year colleges. So looking at the vocational technology programs, looking at specific programs in the armed forces might be the way that somebody wants to go through. We counsel them based on their passion of what they would like to do. So not everybody, when you look at the armed forces, wants to go to the Air Force Academy.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them may want to go to Army. They want to be in the National Reserve, whatever it might be. Some may want to take a gap year and actually travel and try to understand themselves better and have that opportunity to mature even further before they take on a four-year college process. So it's where they are in their life cycle, really, that's the most important concept to understand.
And how have you enjoyed working with some young people that have taken that gap year? How does it process process start? Was it start any different from them then after they've taken that year?
Actually, it really doesn't. What I counsel most of the gap year students is to go through the application process and the college process, so you're actually finding out the same schools that fit you. Now, if you're applying for them and you're accepted, what you can do is ask them for a deferral. And what they'll ask you to do is set up a project plan of what you're doing in that next year that is going to make you an even stronger candidate for them the following year, because they're holding a spot for you. So then if you decide other passions as you go through the year-long process of a gap year, you may want to then apply to other schools, but at least you have something in the bag already.
That's right. Vern, any of your clients, have you worked with people that have been out of high school for a long time? Any returning students, I'll call them?
Most of the individuals that I work with, because we really try and focus on those high school students that are going to college. The adult population, obviously, and especially with the online online education that you can get now, it's just a burgeoning market. But right now, we're focusing solely on the high school students that are going to college, because they're in a totally different area and a focus at that point, just trying to find out who they are and how to do that. And that's where I think our expertise really falls.
Well, I don't want to let too much of our time completely dwitter away. We've got about 2 minutes. I wanted to ask you, here you are, a degreed engineer that worked in aerospace, real quickly for our audience to understand how you became this man that's got such fire in his eyes about this subject of helping others.
Sure.
How did it come out?
I had spent most of my early life in aerospace, and while I loved the company that I worked for and they treated me very well, what I did understand is I would spend 3 to 4 months working on formulating a plan and providing that to the company vice presidents and presidents, and understanding that in a 5-minute period of time, they could tell me thanks and no thanks for all your hard work and information, now start the next process. So I really didn't have any input or any passion
feedback
to that project.
Loop, the feedback loop side.
Right, and it wasn't any personal. So I could continue doing something and making a lot of money, but it wasn't something I loved to do. And I always thought about the adage that they say, if you do what you love, you'll love what you do. So I followed that adage when I finally went into my master's program. That's when I really visualized what I really wanted to do and had the passion to do it.
Sure, and that idea of working with youth in particular, that continuation. Of course, you and Chris now have a young son, and so I'm sure in that flight plan will these learning experiences of watching his giftedness and his passions evolve in time as well.
Sure, and I get to live vicariously through the students, which is a nice way to go through the process all over again.
It keeps us young, doesn't it? Well, thank you very much, Vern Church from College Educator Consultants. We'll look forward to keeping track of your wonderful business to help young people.
Thank you. Take care.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.